Tarea 2.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Law of the European Union. In this lesson, we're going to move on to the second of our substantive freedoms that are provided by the EU single market. And this is the free movement of people, or the free movement of persons. Now, we're just going to introduce this topic in this lesson, focus on where the concept of the free movement of persons fits into the broader corpus of the law of the European Union single market, before we then set up essentially what the next series of lessons is going to focus on, which is that of EU citizenship. So the substantive law that we've been going through already relates to the first of the European Union's fundamental freedoms. Now, you could technically, if you wanted to, study these different freedoms in whatever order you so pleased, but any undergraduate or even postgraduate module on law of the European Union or law of the single market will often and should always focus with the single market's free movement of goods. And then they will tend to move on to the second of these, which is that relating to the second of the four fundamental freedoms, the free movement of persons. So, we know already that the internal market for the European Union has this very unique feature of allowing not just the free movement of goods and services. So this is really where we see a lot of other customs unions that exist around the world. They tend to focus and be limited on the free movement of goods and services, sometimes not even services, but just goods. But they also have this additional layer within the EU single market, the EU's internal market. This being the free movement of people as a mode of production, as well as the concept of a monetary union with the free movement of capital. Now, we'll study capital markets in a future lesson. But what's important is citizenship or labour through member states is something that is provided for by the treaties on the European Union. We know already from Article 26 on the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union that there is the provision ensured for the establishment of the four freedoms within the single market. It says that the internal market shall comprise an area without internal frontiers in which the free movement of goods, persons, services, and capital is ensured. Now, we tend to split services into two. So there's also the free provision of services across member states, which is the one element. And then this is sort of exemplified in another element, which is that of the freedom of establishment of business operations in other member states. So freedom of establishment and services tend to sort of link together as one of the four fundamental freedoms. But we've already looked at goods. We've looked at the distinction between fiscal barriers and non-fiscal barriers, things like quantitative restrictions and things like measures that have equivalent effect to quantitative restrictions. So now let's focus on how EU citizenship law operates and how EU citizenship and EU labour law operates within the context of the single market. So from a historical perspective, in this original format, the concept of the free movement of persons wasn't necessarily universal across every kind of person, because there was this idea that it should only include, or when we talk about the free movement of persons, that should be taken to mean and taken to be described as only economically active persons, i.e. workers. So instead of it being the free movement of persons, there was this general idea that it could potentially just be the free movement of workers, a specific type of person that provides for a mode of production, i.e. the labour market. But the reason for this was because the single market is traditionally described as that which deals with the economic factors of production. And you'll notice that is the case if you look at the four freedoms. The free movement of goods, goods obviously being a factor of production. Another one of these four freedoms is that of labour, i.e. the labour markets, i.e. the free movement of persons. And then you've also got others, things like relating to establishment and services, as well as capital. Capital being a very important element of this idea of there being modes of productions that have no internal frontiers across the member states. But what this doesn't express is the clear element that within the four fundamental freedoms, there is a social dimension that is baked into them. And now this social dimension may or may not have been something that was originally envisaged by the founding fathers, shall we say, of the single market. But it is something that has developed over time as the European Union has developed, not just as an economic union, but also as a social union and a political union of the member states across Europe, because that is what the EU has essentially become. And it's growing into all kinds of different things with all kinds of different initiatives that the European Union is growing into. So, for example, in the last 40 years or so, one of the most important developments within the European Union is this idea of the creation of the common currency and the creation of a deeper integration within monetary union. And we've seen integration grow even further and further with multiple different treaties. So the Maastricht Treaty, for example, in the 1990s, and then obviously we have the Lisbon Treaty in 2007, all showing deeper both economic integration, but also deeper social and political integration as well. And as a result of that, we see an extension, the dimension of which people, when it comes to the free movement of people, is not specifically just within the context of workers and within the labour market. It's more specifically in the context of EU citizenship. Welcome back, everyone, to the Law of the European Union. In this lesson, we're going to move on to the second of our substantive freedoms that are provided by the EU single market. And this is the free movement of people, or the free movement of persons. Now, we're just going to introduce this topic in this lesson, focus on where the concept of the free movement of persons fits into the broader corpus of the law of the European Union single market, before we then set up essentially what the next series of lessons is going to focus on, which is that of EU citizenship. So The substantive law that we've been going through already relates to the first of the European Union's fundamental freedoms. Now, you could technically, if you wanted to, study these different freedoms in whatever order you so pleased, but any undergraduate or even postgraduate module on law of the European Union or law of the single market will often and should always focus with the single market's free movement of goods. And then they will tend to move on to the second of these, which is that relating to the second of the four fundamental freedoms, the free movement of persons. So, we know already that the internal market for the European Union has this very unique feature of allowing not just the free movement of goods and services. So this is really where we see a lot of other customs unions that exist around the world. They tend to focus and be limited on the free movement of goods and services, sometimes not even services, but just goods. But they also have this additional layer within the EU single market, the EU's internal market. This being the free movement of people as a mode of production, as well as the concept of a monetary union with the free movement of capital. Now, we'll study capital markets in a future lesson. But what's important is citizenship or labour through member states is something that is provided for by the treaties on the European Union. We know already from Article 26 on the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union that there is the provision ensured for the establishment of the four freedoms within the single market. It says that the internal market shall comprise an area without internal frontiers in which the free movement of goods, persons, services, and capital is ensured. Now, we tend to split services into two. So there's also the free provision of services across member states, which is the one element. And then this is sort of exemplified in another element, which is that of the freedom of establishment of business operations in other member states. So freedom of establishment and services tend to sort of link together as one of the four fundamental freedoms. But we've already looked at goods. We've looked at the distinction between fiscal barriers and non-fiscal barriers, things like quantitative restrictions and things like measures that have equivalent effect to quantitative restrictions. So now let's focus on how EU citizenship law operates and how EU citizenship and EU labour law operates within the context of the single market. So from a historical perspective, in this original format, the concept of the free movement of persons wasn't necessarily universal across every kind of person, because there was this idea that it should only include, or when we talk about the free movement of persons, that should be taken to mean and taken to be described as only economically active persons, i.e. workers. So instead of it being the free movement of persons, there was this general idea that it could potentially just be the free movement of workers, a specific type of person that provides for a mode of production, i.e. the labour market. But the reason for this was because the single market is traditionally described as that which deals with the economic factors of production. And you'll notice that is the case if you look at the four freedoms. The free movement of goods, goods obviously being a factor of production. Another one of these four freedoms is that of labour, i.e. the labour markets, i.e. the free movement of persons. And then you've also got others, things like relating to establishment and services, as well as capital. Capital being a very important element of this idea of there being modes of productions that have no internal frontiers across the member states. But what this doesn't express is the clear element that within the four fundamental freedoms, there is a social dimension that is baked into them. And now this social dimension may or may not have been something that was originally envisaged by the founding fathers, shall we say, of the single market. But it is something that has developed over time as the European Union has developed, not just as an economic union, but also as a social union and a political union of the member states across Europe. Because that is what the EU has essentially become. And it's growing into all kinds of different things with all kinds of different initiatives that the European Union is growing into. So, for example, in the last 40 years or so, one of the most important developments within the European Union is this idea of the creation of the common currency and the creation of a deeper integration within monetary union. And we've seen integration grow even further and further with multiple different treaties. So the Maastricht Treaty, for example, in the 1990s, and then obviously we have the Lisbon Treaty in 2007, all showing deeper both economic integration, but also deeper social and political integration as well. And as a result of that, we see an extension, the dimension of which people, when it comes to the free movement of people, is not specifically just within the context of workers and within the labour market. It's more specifically in the context of EU citizenship.